Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neves includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neves Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome. It's The Parent Show on Thursday night. How are you, Georgie Tovell?
Oh, Kathy, nice to be here tonight.
Yeah, joining me in the studio, Georgie Tovell, who does our monthly Green Parent slot. So she's not often here, but when she is, it's a real treat.
And it's a real learning curve for me because it's always interesting to chat to green parents, different shades of green, talk about their journeys and what they're doing to be sort of greener parents. And tonight's an interesting one because we've actually doing the show on natural parenting.
Yes, natural parenting. I suppose people aren't quite sure what it means, and we're going to find really explore it tonight and in all its glory.
Exactly. I think some people may be familiar with it, but to many it's a term that they hear but aren't quite sure what exactly the definition of it is.
So who's going to be helping us joining in the discussion tonight?
Okay, we've got three fabulous guests. First up, we're talking to Safia Farr, who's the editor of Juno magazine. Have you heard of Juno?
I certainly have, because I was very lucky enough to bump into Safia at the Milton Keynes Baby Expo last week.
Oh, great.
And she was, well, she's an inspirational woman, really, isn't she?
I know,
she?
That magazine is just
so nice.
I know. Inspiring.
And everyone who's been handling it this week, because I got a few copies when I was there. I mean, they all want the subscription.
Oh, I know.
It's
hopefully
so
telling
attractive,
us how to get it? Because I'm definitely signing up. It really is super. Actually, she'll be chatting to us first. And then we've also got Lucy Pierce, who is involved with Juno. She's a contributing editor. But she is also, by her own definition, a free-spirited freelance writer and artist, which I love.
Fab.
She kind of does a whole lot of interesting things, which she can tell us about, and is, as she says, striving to be the best natural parent she can, but is also struggling with it. So it'll be quite interesting to hear what her journey's been like. And then third up is Michelle Mattesini, and she heads up the Attachment Parenting UK group.
Wow, Attachment Parenting.
Now, that's
interesting.
A form of natural, I know. So, yeah, it'll be great to hear more about it from her and also hear about her journey as well. And
brilliant. So three amazing, inspirational women talking about natural parenting. We're going to play a little tiny bit of Coldplay, a song called Don't Panic, and then we'll come back and we'll have Safia Farr from Juno magazine coming up.
Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
We've got Safia Farr on the line. How are you, Safia?
Very good, thank you. Good evening.
That's a nice clear line from, is it Bristol you're in?
Yes, just north of Bristol.
Ah, well, welcome to The Parent Show.
It's great to have you on, Safia. Hi.
It was very, very nice to meet you at the Milton Keynes Expo last week.
Yes, that was fantastic.
We've been talking about it, Lydia and myself and Georgie, all week, because it was just, well, it was inspirational to meet you and to hear all about the magazine, which we're hoping you'll be able to talk about tonight.
Definitely, yes.
And that's actually, as in our introduction, we're saying we love Juno and know Juno, but we're actually not sure how much sort of people know about your magazine. So if you wouldn't mind sort of running through what Juno stands for and also what the aims of the magazine are.
Yes, of course. Well, Juno is, our strapline is a natural approach to family life, and our main aim is to support parents and just generally to share ideas and insights. And an awful lot of the features are written by parents, mums and dads and grandparents, sharing their experiences for the benefit of other people. So it's all very much along the lines of people saying, this is what we've experienced, this is what we've done, you might find it interesting, and therefore other parents can take inspiration from that, or it might be something that they don't feel applies to them. So we're certainly, we never want to be prescriptive, and we certainly don't want to load any more guilt on parents. I think modern parents these days have far too much feelings of guilt around what they do. So it's just supposed to be an inspirational magazine. And we also, the look of the magazine is very important to us. We use some beautiful images and also some illustrations from some really talented artists. We have a lady called Veronica Petrie who's been working with Juno for a long time. And she produces beautiful images that really support the articles. And
I know it's such an attractive magazine, Safia, isn't it, Georgie?
Yeah, it's great. And especially, I think what you're saying about the articles, it's super because it really is very personal, which makes a big difference.
Yes, yes. And I think that is something that's very, you know, different for Juno, and it's very special to us to be able to give that voice to parents.
And I think that just giving the voice to parents, I think what I really love as well about your magazine is that you promote sort of peaceful parenting and nurturing creativity and just things that are very gentle and natural, but without the judgment attached. So it's not that if you don't, you're not a natural parent. I think it's very all-inclusive, and it appeals to quite a wide range of people, I would say, different parts of it. Maybe not all of it appeals to everyone, in fairness.
Yes, definitely, and that's actually something that I really picked up on, and I took over as editor last year, and in my first editorial in the spring issue, I really talked about how I didn't want Juno to be something that was, you know, you had to tick all the boxes to be part of. Juno was going to be inclusive, and there was something for everybody. And every family is different, and something different works for every family. And so it's something that we feel very strongly about. So we just try to bring lots and lots of different ideas to parents, and then they can pick up on what works for them and their family.
Sophia, can we just read out, I think it's lovely, the background to Juno, what your sort of approach is. I think it'll be meaningful to people. Juno promotes a natural approach to family life that inspires and supports parents as they journey through the challenges of parenting. We have an ethos based on conscious parenting, sustainability, social justice, non-violence, and a commitment to personal growth. And to share fresh perspectives in this fast-paced technological world, creating a non-judgmental community for those who are keen to follow a natural approach to family life. So there's very few people would be against any of those things. I mean, I love the term conscious parenting. I think that is meaningful.
And a reminder, actually, in a very fast-paced world, and I think you assist in the magazine to help people be more conscious.
And more mindful.
Definitely.
And that's something we focus on an awful lot, is we've actually got something coming up in our winter issue about, you know, how we all cope with the challenges of technology, because it is part of modern life, and it's very difficult to ignore it and step away from it, but we all have to put coping mechanisms in place for ourselves as adults, but also for our family. So it's something that we really think about a lot in Juno. We've had some really interesting reflective pieces on that sort of thing. Had another great piece called Being Still, written by a mother on how she just sort of learnt to slow down and be with her children.
It's just fantastic that the contributors are all parents. And I have to say, I mean, the quality of the writing's great, isn't it, Georgie?
I know, it's really super. And I just thought, for listeners, I looked online, and so it's you can just submit articles. I saw that, which is great. And obviously you can accept them or not. So really anyone's welcome, from what I understand, to submit articles.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I have articles sent from me from all sorts of different people all over the world, which is absolutely brilliant. And like I say, I really love to be able to share those voices. And the quality of writing is just fantastic, and I think often the writing is so much more powerful because it really comes from the heart and from people's personal experiences.
Definitely.
Yeah, that makes sense. And actually, on the personal experiences, we were hoping that tonight you could maybe share some of your personal insights with us, maybe of the struggles of being a natural parent, or some of the experiences you've had that are sort of you could highlight for us.
I mean, first of all, I don't find it a struggle to be a natural parent, because it's sort of what comes naturally and instinctive to me.
Yeah.
And I've always, you know, when you first have a baby, it's really quite intimidating. But I was, you know, I just sort of very lucky. I had great support from my mother, and I was able to just find my own pace and my own instincts. And that's been really important to me. So things like breastfeeding, everything, it was just an absolute joy for me. So it really wasn't a struggle. I think probably struggles might come. My eldest son is he's 9 next week, so he's coming into the phase where there's a lot more peer pressure, and he's a lot more aware of what other, you know, how other people live. And I think that can be very difficult when it comes to choices about how you live your life. Things, for example, like screen time and playing computer games and things like that. So that can be difficult. But I think the way I deal with that, we deal with that, is that we stay strong to our values, and we help our children understand why things are important to us, so they can understand why we're making those life decisions.
And I think that's probably the same for all parents, that they've got a set of values that may be attempted to be thwarted by their children
throughout
at some point, you know.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's just it's just a sort of a boundary testing, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And children are always experimenting with everything, aren't they? That's how they learn. So I think if you can feel comfortable with what you believe in, then you can help them with that.
Can I just ask Safia, what would you say is the equivalent for a father at the beginning of the child's life, you know, during those days of infancy? We've got the sort of the natural approach might be breastfeeding, keeping baby close to you, co-sleeping, etc. What's the father's role in at that stage, if you taking up the natural parenting approach?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting actually, because lots of people think, oh, if a mother breastfeeds, then that excludes the father, and we never found that. Again, I mean, my husband was present at all three of our births, and that was a wonderful experience for him, and he's able to hold the children very quickly and just cuddle them and be with them as well. So it was sort of never really a big deal for us in finding a role for the father. It just happened very naturally just to be with them even when they're tiny babies.
Safia, we've got a listener who's mailed us this question. I hope you don't mind me throwing it at you. How do you, as a magazine, she says, that wants to raise awareness of natural parenting and support parents going down that route, balance your need for advertising revenue with the fact that natural parenting is a lot about less toys, less baby equipment, less clothing, less organised activities for your children, and more simple free time spent together? And what do you think about the way in which being green is often equated with buying stuff, but green stuff instead of other materials?
Yeah. No, that's a really fantastic question. And it's something that we are very aware of in Juno. And we're very, we're very sensitive about that and about advertising. But we believe, and we work very hard, especially Jackie, who does our advertising, to make sure that all our adverts are sort of helpful and things that are useful to parents. We advertise an awful lot of services that may be of benefit to people, hypnobirthing, natural birthing, doula services. So it's not just about buy products. And I really... I really would agree with that parent. That's not what we're about in Juno, that, to be a good parent, a new parent, you don't have to go out and buy all this equipment.
Yeah.
So we have this fantastic slot in the back of the magazine called Marketplace, and we know that loads of readers use this as a resource, as a directory, and they will go back to it. We often have people phoning up saying, oh, there was something about a school in Juno a few issues ago. Can you remind me what it was? So people really do read it and find it useful. And for example, if they want to buy a gift, they might look at an advert and think, oh, okay, I'll buy something that's organic or fair trade or made in Bangladesh and supporting people. So I think I would agree that I think being green is not really equated with buying stuff, but it's about choice. And we try to offer our readers choice through our adverts, that we say, look, here are the more natural choices in ways that if you do want to spend your money, this is where you might want to do it. So we try and make them... it's all part of the magazine's feel.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense as well, because if you're going to buy clothing, rather buy fair trade and organic clothing and so on. That does make sense. And it's once again that thing of, if you've got the ethos of not buying too much and not, focusing on materialism, rather focusing on less is more, then hopefully people, your readers, would follow that.
And there's, like I say, great service. I mean, I heard of one company recently that they're selling baby clothes, and any profit that they make is going towards supporting orphan babies around the world. So that's absolutely fantastic company for us to promote. Yeah. Because it's something that, ties in with our ethos and being supportive.
Yeah, definitely. If you don't mind, we've got one more question. The last question for you, also sent through by a listener.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a bit of a tricky one, but I'm sure you'll be able to handle it. Thanks. It says there obviously can't be a toolkit for being a natural parent. Mm. However, if you had to give five key factors as a basis for natural parenting, what would they be?
Oh, lovely. Well, can I give just one? Because it's something we really try and avoid top tips in Juno, because we just, it's not something we do. But the only piece of advice I would ever give to anybody is to follow your instincts. And that's focus on loads in Juno. We've got a really great piece in our current issue about parenting instincts. So I think I would just say go with your instincts and do what feels right for you and what feels right for your family.
Brilliant. And obviously for anyone interested in getting a subscription to Juno, I'm sure they'll be lining up for these. Could you tell us how often the magazine's published? I think you've mentioned it's four times a year.
Yeah.
And the easiest way of getting a subscription?
Yeah, sure. Well, it comes out four times a year and it's seasonal. So it's on the 1st of March, June, September and December. And you can get a subscription from our website, which is junomagazine.com. We are also in lots of shops around the country, in organic health food shops and natural toy shops. So if readers wanted to get in touch with us, we could let them know their nearest stockist. But also, we thought it might be interesting for your readers who maybe are just hearing about Juno for the first time. We wanted to do a little offer for them. If they go to the website and click on buy one issue and click on the current issue, if they click code RV112.
Ooh, RV112.
Yeah, RV112, and that will get them the current issue. We'll send them a free copy of the current issue so that they can see what it is.
Okay, I'll be sure to put that up on our Facebook page,
Safi.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been wonderful having you on.
We've got two contributing writers to your magazine coming up next. Lucy Pierce.
Yes.
That's it. And then Michelle Mattison is from Attachment Parenting UK.
So we've still got lots to learn about Juno tonight. All the very best, Safia.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Good night.
Bye-bye now.
Networking with the community. Radio Verulam.
Now, let's hope we have our next guest on the line.
Hello.
Lucy, calling from Cork.
Yep.
Hi, Lucy. It's great to have you with us tonight.
I'm really glad you played the unedited version.
That's called a bit of a mess. Sorry about that. We'll edit it out of the podcast, clearly. So, Lucy Pierce, you are a freelance writer and an artist, and you're the contributing editor to Juno magazine.
Yep.
So a very warm welcome.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be with you.
Well, I'm kind of going to go straight into one of the questions we had, and I hope that that's okay with you. It's just about one of our first choices that we make as parents as to how to bring our children into the world. Sometimes our plans work, and other times we have to settle for plan B. I'm sure so many people have been through that. But either way, most people consider their options and plan the birth. So for those of our listeners who are pregnant and considering their birth options, can you give us an overview of natural and home birthing? I know that's something that you do write quite a bit about on your blog and are quite familiar with.
Yeah, I'm a passionate home birther myself, and I'm a home birther by choice. And I came upon it because I have an absolute phobia of hospitals. And so when you start telling people that you're considering a home birth, everyone thinks you're totally crazy and starts calling you very irresponsible often. And so to try and explain to people that actually I genuinely felt safer and therefore more able to labor successfully at home was a very difficult fight to have first time round, because the overriding idea out there is that the safest place for you is in a hospital, but because we're all mammals, if your adrenaline is kicking off, the safest place for you is not in a hospital, which was my case. And so I knew that I had to trust my instincts. I knew I had to get as much information as I could, and I knew that I had to surround myself with people who were like-minded and caregivers who were like-minded. And for me, making birth choices, and for me helping friends come to decisions about birth choices, and when I write about birth choices, that's always what I'm coming in on. What is it that, as in your gut, feels right? What is it information-wise that feels right? And what is it that is going to allow, as much as is possible, the process of birth to happen? Because we live in a culture which likes to interfere with everything as much as possible. And the reality is that human beings are here because we have been giving birth for 2 million years.
Lucy, a lot of women aim for as natural a birth as possible, but they end up having emergency C-sections or all sorts of other traumatic outcomes or things that can not be the way they want it. I mean, what's the sort of answer to that? Is it okay to set out on that with that ideal, but then would you have been, say, prepared to have gone into hospital at any point?
I would absolutely have been prepared to have gone into hospital if my child was in grave danger. But I think to your question, there are two answers, and I've given you the first in the beginning, which is, in order for birth to progress, we need to allow the process of birth to be able to happen as much as possible. So we need dark, we need to be calm, we need to be in a quiet place with caregivers who are gentle and as hands-off as possible so that the hormonal process of birth can happen. Now, in many birthing centers, in many midwife-led units, that is possible, and therefore women who feel calm in those places can absolutely, birth can progress for them. Now, of course, there are times when extra help is needed, but often hospitals are set up in a way that doesn't respect the birth process, so it doesn't respect the need for privacy, the need for darkness, the need for quiet. And if those things aren't there and aren't happening, which is what's happening in an awful lot of hospital situations, if a woman is feeling panicked, if she's being asked to get into her verbal part of her brain, her rational part of her brain, then of course other things are going to come in, other interventions are going to need to start happening, because her body is not being allowed to birth. And that's when we get into intervention after intervention, the cascade of interventions, which unfortunately is just so common for so many women.
And so many factors interfering with women's intuition as mothers,
and
whether
so,
they're giving birth or not. There's a lot of white noise around your instincts.
Totally. And so, you know, this is why I kind of started off from that point, because if you get yourself into a situation where your body cannot relax, and the processes of birth, the hormonal, biological processes of birth that are so carefully, finely tuned after thousands and thousands and thousands of years, if that can't happen, then of course you're going to need help with drugs to stimulate you, physical interventions to help to remove the baby, because your body can't do it. And so it's really important for women to plan to be in a situation where birth can happen. And what I'm saying is that, in my opinion, many places where birth is planned to happen, i.e. hospitals, with, especially in Ireland here, we have a very consultant-led approach, not a gentle, caring, midwife-led approach. Mm-hmm. In that situation, women's bodies aren't going to open up and let babies out because they don't feel safe. You know, if a woman is being induced because it's, according to dates, the time for the baby to be born, but the baby isn't ready to be born, then of course there's going to be needs and to be more help.
Yeah.
The baby's not ready, the woman's not ready. And then in that situation, women who wanted to have a more natural birth, women who felt under pressure from the outside because the experts are telling them what to do, then they get this horrible feeling of guilt and, did I do the right thing, and could it have been different? And that's hideous for people to have to deal with, because not only have they not got what they desperately wanted, but then they've got all these other feelings going on with it, and there's
and
very
that's
little
the beginning
support
of parenting.
Women to deal with all of that, which I feel is the biggest tragedy of all.
I know, and that's the first sort of start of your parenting career, really.
Absolutely.
So it's really hard. And I was wondering, maybe, Lucy, if we can sort of take a step back. So the natural birthing is the first part of, as you'd say, like natural parenting. But I was wondering, because we wanted to kind of get some guidelines and insights from you as how people can make natural parenting work for their families. But you sent me such a lovely little thing written about you and what it meant for you to be a natural parent. And I thought, I'm sure a lot of people could relate to it. So I hope you don't mind if I do read it out. I just love it. And I think people listening would appreciate it. It's just, you said, I'm not a tick all the boxes natural parent, and nor is Safia. And we're proud to have made the best informed decisions for our families. I home birthed, co-slept, breastfed for 2 years, which makes me a natural parent. I tried cloth nappies and failed, sling carried for 4 months, but back problems moved me over to a buggy. I try to choose gentle discipline and sleep approaches, but often fail. We agonized about home education, but ended up school educating. We're not vegan or vegetarian. We watch TV a lot. We drive, but only one car, and occasionally fly on planes. And I thought, oh, it was so refreshing. I loved it.
Well done, you. Well done, you, Lucy.
So I just thought anyone who's listening to the show who might kind of like, you know, really feel like they need to get a grip on natural parent, I just thought that really sums it up. It's just about
trying your best
for your family, for your children. So, but I wonder if you can add anything to that, sort of from your experiences and any guidelines and insights that you can share with the parents listening to the show.
Yeah, a couple. The first thing was, we were doing bedtime tonight, and I'm very lucky. We share parenting, myself and my husband. And I've had 2 days at work, in inverted commas, which means me getting creative headspace and time to do my thing and earn money for our family. I haven't been at home with 3 children today. And so I was doing bedtime from a sustained energetic point of view. It was sustainable for me. I felt full and ready to deal with the drama that was bedtime, whereas my dear husband, who's been having his energy pulled from him all day, is now absolutely exhausted. So that is the first thing I want to say, is that natural parenting needs to be sustainable parenting, sustainable for the planet, absolutely, but also sustainable for parents. Because in
and
the end,
knowing what your limits are, each of you, I think, because it's only fair to children that they should be around people who've got, you know, a decent energy level and some tolerance
and focus.
And focus. Yeah.
Totally. And that depends on the individual parents, on the individual day, and on the children's personalities, too. I mean, natural parenting techniques, breastfeeding, co-sleeping, long-term breastfeeding, sling wearing, all of these practices came about in tribal cultures where it wasn't a nuclear family by themselves all day, dragging themselves through by the skin of their teeth often. You know, it was a whole community gathered around to be able to share the children. You know, grandma and granddad and sisters and aunties would be there too. And what we're trying to do now in our culture is try to do that just with two grown-ups or even one grown-up and multiple children. And you know what? That's really hard. And so I think the most important thing of natural parenting is to let go of every single box, every single should do, must do, and actually just look at what is sustainable for you at this moment. What can you do in your situation to create a heart-based family for yourself and for your children? Because, you know, it's not just about, you know, does my children eat all the perfect food and do we do all the most perfect eco things? If we're absolutely exhausted in ourselves, we can't do that. We can't sustain it. So
now, Lucy, if people want to, I know you write a fabulous blog for Juno Magazine. It's called Dreaming Aloud. Is that correct? Yep. Dreamingaloud.net.
Yes.
And how do they access that?
It's a blog on the internet. It's updated every couple of days with my thoughts on the world.
Wonderful. So people just go to www.dreamingaloud.
Column called Dreaming Aloud. And I also have a book that is just at the publishers now. It'll be out in November, called The Moods of Motherhood.
Oh, I like some
which,
of that.
Which is a compilation of my most popular blog posts and Juno columns and some other original writing from me on the whole gamut of emotions of mothering, not just, you know, the joy and the love, but also the guilt and the tiredness and all the other bits, the anger that we're not allowed to talk about.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us, Lucy. It's been great.
Thank you very
Lucy.
Much.
It was great
all
to
the very
you.
Best to Bye you.
Now. Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Now, we are hoping we've got Michelle on the phone. Michelle Mattesini from Attachment Parenting UK. Are you there, Michelle?
I am. Hello.
Another fabulous guest tonight. We're inundated with these inspirational women.
We've already had Safia, from the editor from Juno, and Lucy Pierce, who's also a contributing editor to Juno, and she writes a fabulous blog. So you're the third up, and we're really looking to find out more about attachment parenting from you. They've been chatting to us about natural parenting. Maybe you could also give us a little bit about what the difference is, or how it sort of they work together.
I think attachment parenting, it's many things, and it will encompass lots of natural parenting approaches.
Yeah.
But it will definitely look very different in each home. And I think the defining thing about attachment parenting is that it's about having a willingness to respond in a really timely and sensitive way to the child.
Yeah.
To be really empathetic to the child's experience of the world, and to model the behaviour we would like to see in our children. So that means modelling understanding and cooperation and the empathy and solution finding, rather than, you know, perhaps coercion or bribery or threats.
I'm just saying the bribery one now. The rest of the principles of attachment pairing I can definitely think I do, but the bribery one's a toughie.
Oh, in desperate situations I've also used it. It's quite hard, isn't it? That's actually quite an interesting one to chat about. Those things, would you, I guess we also learn from our parents so much, and especially under stress, I think things come back that we probably never expected we would ever do. But how would you, sort of the aims of natural parent of attachment parenting, and kind of how people can also sort of get more in touch with it? How could you sort of, could you chat to us a bit more about that?
I think there's so many approaches that help us to become more attuned to our children. And I think the hardest thing about parenting is actually when you don't know what's going on for the child. So attachment parenting seeks to really understand. And so there's so many sort of practices which support and enhance that desire to be very connected with the child. And so things like co-sleeping and the baby wearing and breastfeeding, which, you know, they've received quite a lot of attention, even though they don't define attachment parenting, and you don't have to do those things to be an attached parent. But they do support and really enhance that ability to respond really swiftly and to really know what the child's cues are.
Mm-hmm.
And those things actually make life a lot easier as well. You know, baby wearing, people find that makes their life so much easier.
Michelle, I was talking today about someone about you coming on the show, and they said that they followed, you know, the attachment parenting idea as well, the philosophy, and one of their favorite things was talking to their child on the way home in the car. They considered that, you know, attachment parenting can also be just being there to listen. It doesn't, you know, it's always equated with sort of breastfeeding and co-sleeping, mm-hmm. but actually it's about the closeness of the relationship
and the quality.
And
well.
The quality of the time you spend with them, is it not?
Absolutely, yes. There's quite a strong emphasis in the media on attachment mothering when it's actually attachment parenting, and it's about the child having healthy relationships with different attachment figures. But there has been quite a lot of emphasis on the physical side of it, but it's really about building those emotional bonds, mm-hmm. those emotional mm-hmm. foundations. And it's interesting about driving in the car, because when you're sat alongside each other facing out the world, that's often a good time for you know, people to connect. And I think, you know, time and attention and eye contact, all of those things help us connect with children, and going into their world through play as well, because play is such a serious business for children. It's how they understand the world and how they communicate and how they learn everything. And so, you know, we often kind of dismiss that world of play as just being play. Sometimes we need to enter into that world with them to really understand what's happening in their lives and to connect with them on quite a deep level. Mm.
And often we're washing the dishes while they're playing, you know, role play on the floor with some action figures, when actually, you know, we could be playing with them, and it's about taking that time, isn't it?
Yeah, we can learn so much from their play. And because children live so much in their bodies as well, rough and tumble is a great way to reconnect with a child if there's been a separation, or if the child's upset. You know, just being really physical can be great.
And Michelle, we love the quote on your website by John Lennon: "The pressures of being a parent are equal to any pressure on earth. To be a conscious parent and really look to that little being's mental and physical health is a responsibility which most of us, including me, avoid most of the time because it's too hard." I mean, how would you encourage new mothers, or also those who've already embarked, you know, on the journey of motherhood? However, you know, if they've struggled, how can they become more intuitive and connected to their children if they feel maybe they haven't got that relationship quite right?
I think the new mothers, I mean, keeping the child very close, which is actually what infants want. You know, it's completely normal for infants to want constant physical contact, and I don't think mothers actually are told that message enough. Even though their instincts might be telling them that that's what they would like as well, and that the science backs up those instincts to keep the child close, you know, but other messages in society tell us not to. But attachment parenting encourages the mother to have the child very close to them, because that really helps with the attachment, and it helps the mother and child begin to form what, you know, becomes a lifelong relationship in building trust.
So when you say child, if I don't, because I sort of see it, you know, like in terms of keeping them close, you know, with co-sleeping and baby wearing and that. But, you know, as they're getting older, maybe 4 and 5, and it's the age that they're going to school, and you can already feel if there's a distance in the relationship, you probably feel it the strongest then. What would you suggest to those parents who would like, you know, who would like to have that attachment to the kids, have maybe missed out on the co-sleeping and the baby wearing, but do want to become more intuitive? But, you know, your intuition goes, I think, after a while, if society keeps on telling you one thing. Could you offer any hints or tips?
I think that when children sort of reach about the age of 4, lots of families report that that's a really great age to start doing family meetings, and you might organise it sort of on a set time once a week, or it might just be a spontaneous thing in response to what's going on in the family, but the family meeting might be where everyone just jumps onto the sofa and talk through all the things that might be an issue. So it might be about sharing television time, or it might be about the children coming to the table for dinner at the certain time. And it's very much a collaborative meeting, and the children are invited to come up with the solutions for themselves, which is so much more empowering for the child to have the solution, and then they're so much more motivated to work through on that, you know, and to follow through on that.
Yeah, definitely. And then also talking about it when you're not in the heat of the situation, which I really like.
Yes, that's true. That's really important as well. But you know, I think when children feel like they're really worthy members of the family and they're equally respected and valued for their contribution, that can really transform a relationship. The other thing some families do, they call it special time, and it might be at the beginning of the day when, I guess if you imagine a child's cup needs to be full of that sense of worth and love, then sometimes children need that cup to be filled early in the day and then can go on very independently for the rest of the day. So special time is when, you know, the phones get turned off and the dishes get left alone and it's just the family together, and the children can lead the play, but everybody's involved. And the children have, you know, they actually have some power over what goes on in that time. And it's important because children don't have much say in a lot of what goes on. So a little bit of autonomy, a little bit of power for them can be quite transformative.
And it's really about creating the atmosphere, the family atmosphere, the time to listen properly to them, to give them a voice within the family. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
I like that about play, because often it's sort of, I'll say, you know, shall we do a puzzle? Let's play this. And it's also kind of initiated from my side. So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to try tomorrow with my kids to sit down on the carpet and say, you know, what are you playing and what can I play with you? So it'll be a nice change.
Yeah, or you can just active listening and wait to be invited into their game and see what they would like you to be. That's an interesting thing about active listening is an empathetic listening. So often we don't need to say as much as we do as parents.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing, sometimes.
If you don't step in so quickly and are keen to sort of fill the gaps, if you just leave them to it, if you happen to be on the phone for quite a long time, you see how they come up with these amazing games themselves.
And solutions to problems, interesting, I find, between my two. If I've left it, they actually do find solutions. So I think it is important to step back.
Now, Michelle, what is the website that people can sort of read the interesting articles and the references that you've got? We know that
it's www.attachmentparenting.co.uk. There's resources on there on every topic of parenting and top tips and personal stories. And we have a bookstore and an online shop and quotes to inspire people. But an important part of the website is we know it's really important for people to connect with others. So there's a find a group page.
Brilliant.
And a regional search map of AP groups all over the country.
Brilliant.
And there's one in Letchworth, actually, which is...
not too far from here.
Yeah, that's local to you. We will also be training people from the beginning of next year to become AP UK group facilitators. So they'll be running attachment parenting groups with our support all over the country. And the response, you know, the willingness of people to do that has been really phenomenal. So people definitely want to connect with others. And we've just launched a forum as well, a county-by-county forum. All the links to that are on the website.
Okay, so people can contact you through the website.
Absolutely,
if they have an interest
yeah.
in it. Okay, thank you so much, Michelle.
It's been wonderful having you on.
They can go on Facebook as well. We have a really active Facebook page.
Okay.
If people have questions, they want advice and suggestions from other parents.
Great.
They'll be supported there.
Okay, well, if you link to the Radio Verulam Parents Show, we should have that link and people can see the sort of activity that goes on your Facebook page.
Thank you.
Lovely. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
All the very best.
Thank you.
Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Welcome back to the Parents Show. That was Mick Hucknall. That's how strong my love is. There's a bit of a blast from the past. And talking of blasts,
Does that link? It's Claire Healy. She's on the show.
Awful, Kathy. That was
it wasn't
terrible.
Very good. I was going to say blast from the past, but you're not really a blast from the past, are you?
No, thank you very much.
Very much part
and
parcel.
I'm glad that you can see me now.
Claire, how
That's
are you?
Fine, isn't it? Yeah, very well, thank you, for an old woman.
Oh.
Thank you. Are you?
I'm very well. I'm hoping you're not going to hang up on us and you're going to tell us what's in store for our children this weekend.
I will do, yes. I'll do that before you get ruder.
Yeah, sorry.
There is something actually new, and I'm quite excited about it. It's taking place on Saturday. There's a new shop opened. Well, it's a second-hand children's clothing shop, and it's at Sandridgeby Farm, and this Saturday they've got their opening event where they've got loads of stuff to sell. What they do is they pay a commission to for you for the toys and the clothes that you drop in, and then they sell them on your behalf, which sounds a great idea. So they've got the big opening event is Saturday, 10 till 1.
Now, I know Sandridgebury, but I don't know where the shop would be, because I know the stables and the butcher.
Yes, I'm not sure myself. I think it's around about the stables. That's where I've got the impression it is, from what they've said. So I think that's where it is. The shop's also going to be open Monday and Wednesday, 9:15 to 11:15 to start with, and then I think they're going to be opening at longer hours, depending on what the interest is.
But so is this a proper shop? A shop you can go in to?
Yeah, it is. They call it the Spotty Dinosaur.
Oh, I love that name, and what a great concept.
Fantastic.
Very green. It's good for the programme.
yes, isn't it?
To understand, fantastic. People can take their stuff there, and then they get paid on commission once it's sold, and then people can also go and buy stuff.
Yes,
toys
so I would recommend, if you want to take stuff there beforehand, before Saturday, to sell on Saturday, I don't know the details, but I would recommend probably take it down, contact them on Friday, so that at least they've got a chance to sort of get it all set up for the Saturday morning. So you mentioned green there. Now, I'd just like to link this in now.
Well done. You can link better than me.
Yeah, that was good. This is going to be an impressive one. On Monday, there have been a series of parent and child forest schools at Highfield Park. And these are basically sessions where you can do outdoor wood-based sessions with your children or your child and create natural art, learn about nature and have fun, really. It's taking place at Highfield Park between 9:30 and 11:30 on Monday. And it's suitable for 2 to 4-year-olds. So something a bit different activity.
I think they've got training. They've got training, Claire, because I'm going to the training at 4:30 to 5:30. Maybe that's without children.
Mm. Oh, that's great.
Well, no, this isn't a training. This is kind of a creative thing by the sound of it.
Because you can also attend as a parent who wants to learn more about forest techniques, and I'll be coming back. I'll know how to light a fire and
fantastic. Yeah, we'll learn to rub sticks together and things like that. So one other thing, Highfield Park on Sunday, they have their Apple Day, which is a really good day, 2 till 4 at Highfield Park. They pick apples, press them, and turn them into apple juice or cider, I'm hoping for, but it does say apple juice, which is a bit of a shame. They've got apple pressing demonstrations, craft stalls and refreshments and all sorts of things. So I think that would be quite good fun to go along to as well. And on Saturday, there are the terrific Tudors at the Museum of St. Albans. And you can basically meet a Tudor wise woman, apparently, and find out about the interesting cures she makes for using food and herbs.
So where's that, the Museum of St. Albans?
Museum of St. Albans at the top of Hatfield Road, yes. And the cost for that is £1.
And is that for all ages?
That's I would say probably the under sevens. They're usually for the under sevens, those sort of events. But that sounds quite... So there's actually quite a lot of sort of autumnal activities going on this weekend.
Great. Thanks for that, Claire. Of course, anyone can read more about those activities on the Raring to Go website.
Thanks, Claire.
Thanks a lot, Claire. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
And thanks also to all our guests tonight. Can you list them all? Safia Farr from Juno Magazine.
Lucy Pierce, who does the blog dreamingaloud.net.
And Michelle Madassini from Attachment Parenting UK.
It was super. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, everyone, for listening. Join us next week when we're joined by financial advisor Sarah Belsom, who'll be answering all your family financial matters. Have a good week.
Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show.
The friendly team at Neves includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk.